And welcome to On the Box. We talk about all things to do with TV here on the Geek Show Podcast Network. That was a generic introduction. I feel disappointed with myself.
Yes, so you should be.
Dirty and unclean, which are basically the same thing, but whatever. I'm Andrew, and today I'm joined by Zoen.
Yes.
And Ryan.
Hello.
Whose name I forgot for like a fraction of a second, and I'm scared now. And Rob.
Here.
Okay, that was a perfect introduction. Let's move on to the news.
Nailed it.
Rob sounded more like he was in a classroom there.
That was the idea. I'm just waiting until the register's done. Now I can stare out the window.
While really dramatic music plays.
No, I'm staring out the window in the hopes that a death note will fall from the sky and I'll be the only kid staring out the window during class in school who'll see it.
You're such a weeb.
No, I'm just destroying Death Note for everybody who thinks it's great.
Okay.
There you go. Have that. That's a massive plot hole right there.
Tried so
well, we're only a couple of minutes into the show.
Back to TV.
Yeah. Although I do want to say, one time I did find a black notebook just like in a bar. I did write someone's name into it just to see, just in case.
Whose name was it?
It was someone else's little black book, wasn't it?
Donald Trump.
It wasn't a Death Note. It was just someone else's little black book. And they're probably going, hang on, when did I sleep with this person?
That would be really awkward. Wait, Donald Trump?
Yes.
When was I ever that drunk?
That's ridiculous, because that's a night you'd remember.
No, it's probably some mid-20s guy who just thinks he's all that with the ladies.
The guy, yeah.
And then all of a sudden in his little black book is Donald Trump. Like, I must have been really drunk that night.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, on to the news. So, today is all about the presenting news. First up, we finally know who will be presenting the new series of Robot Wars. It's Dara O'Brien.
Yay.
I'm not sure about this.
I'm the only one that's happy about this.
I like Dara O'Brien,
but I just feel that he's the new Stephen Fry. He's on everything. And I'd really like them to have somebody else. Just because he's on everything. I mean, he's already on on Mock the Week and all the endless reruns of Mock the Week. He's on Stargazing Live. Whenever the BBC need to wheel out somebody who's vaguely foreign but knows science, they wheel him out, you know. He did that recent one about the truth about food or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You know, the BBC one, The Future of Food. He did that recently, and now he's going to be doing Robot Wars and he's going to be doing all sorts of other stuff. I just want BBC to actually invest in some other presenters who aren't Dara O'Brien or Stephen Fry.
Well, I don't know.
Because if you think about it, in terms of the actual amount of broadcasting, who appears on BBC more than anybody else? Stephen Fry, Dara O'Brien.
See, Brian Cox.
Yeah, Brian Cox afterwards.
That'd be a good idea, actually. Makes sense.
No, yeah, no, Brian Cox would not make sense.
No.
Nah.
No, because you do know what would happen if Brian Cox was presenting Robot Wars.
Would he get a drug habit?
No. The crowd would literally start chanting all at once, "You're the best thing I've ever had."
Oh, yes.
No, they wouldn't. Because
yes, they would.
Brian Cox would walk out and go, "Oh, and welcome to Robot Wars." And yes. Everyone would fall asleep.
And that's how he gets his drug habit.
I think Dara O'Brien could be all right. I mean, I'd like to see a robot version of Three Men in a Boat.
That's
another Dara O'Brien show.
Yes, but I feel like that's still a statement that needs qualifying.
Because we all just looked at each other and went, what? Were they shipwrecked? Were they adrift in a boat?
I don't know. I've only watched one episode.
Ah, okay. Anyway, yeah, I think that they could have picked somebody else if they'd actually looked, but I think they've just gone with Dara O'Brien because it was easy and convenient. To me, it's more like a Jeremy Clarkson decision. You know, how they went with Clarkson because he was there, he knew about some technical stuff.
I think
stuff.
That's unfair because Dara O'Brien, he is quite openly nerdy and I think he's a good choice for the role.
Yeah.
I think he's a good choice for the role. I just want them either minimize the amount of stuff he's on, you know, stop spreading him so thin, because I like Dara O'Brien. I actually enjoy his sense of humor. And I think that he would be perfect. It's just he's on everything else as well, so I'm sick of seeing him, is my point. It's not that he's bad for the role. I'm just sick to death of seeing him whenever I turn on the TV and there's Dara O'Brien and his smiling face, you know. And I'm just, I got to the point where I actually want to punch him, even though I really like him. It was the same with Stephen Fry. I was sick of seeing Stephen Fry and everything.
I think that's just more of a Rob problem.
I think it's too much of a good thing. Too much of a good thing can turn it into a bad thing and make you hate it.
Let's say if you've ever binged on chocolate, that kind of works against you.
I won't judge till I've actually seen the first episode.
No, I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be perfectly fine with it. I just my qualm is just that he's on everything.
I'll admit, I'd have loved to have seen Frankie Boyle do it, because I just want to know what he would say to the losers. Frankie Boyle just turns to losers. Well, you did terrible, didn't you?
No, because they wouldn't go with Frankie Boyle, but they could have gone with, who's the other Scottish comedian, the younger one?
Of the two Scottish comedians that exist.
Kevin Bridges.
Yeah, of the two Scottish comedians, because I forgot Billy Connolly.
Oh, he would be good. Oh,
Billy Connolly would be amazing.
That would actually be brilliant.
Oh, Rob has just written on the board, it's called Red Maneitis.
Okay. Is that the official name for it? Right, okay. Yeah, it's when you pick somebody to be in every single thing because...
They are really... Well,
taking out Thomas the Tank really Engine. Yeah, that happened.
Yes. So,
wait, what?
Yeah. Eddie Redmayne voices Thomas the Tank Engine.
Well, now I just don't care about life anymore.
Yeah, that's what I was like yesterday.
Oh my God, does he voice it with like the same voice he uses in Jupiter Ascending?
Oh, no! Oh, my life is just completely ruined now.
No, that would be a very different version of Thomas the Tank Engine.
How to lose your Oscar 101.
Thomas the Tank Engine and the Oedipal Complex.
Oh, God. Why did you have to bring the Oedipus Complex into this?
Because it's a central theme of Jupiter Ascending.
True, but it doesn't need to be a theme of Thomas the Tank Engine.
But you got Eddie Redmayne voicing Thomas.
can we please move past?
I've lost the ability to speak because of...
I just like how that film has furries for no reason.
Yeah, I know.
Can we now move
I'm still
past...
not sure what Channing Tatum was. Half man, half wolf, half bird, half...
I don't think
half
even...
roller skater.
I don't think even Channing Tatum
a
knows
really
what he was.
A greedy furry.
Channing Tatum doesn't even know what he was.
Yeah.
Can we move past now?
And Sean Bean.
Who doesn't die.
Yes. Jupiter Ascending can't even kill Sean Bean off, right?
Yes. Anyway, moving on.
Yes. Just a little thing. Basically, Angela Scanlon will also be joining Robot Wars.
Which one's Angela Scanlon?
I think she's done like some Irish stuff before. By which I mean hosted television programs in Ireland. Which is probably a better way of saying that sentiment.
So,
Angela Scanlon.
Yeah, I don't think... I certainly haven't seen her.
I recognise her. I recognise her a couple of things, yeah. I've seen her on TV a couple of times. But I think, yeah, she's mainly known in Ireland.
I think that's kind of just shrug and say,
I still kind of want Frankie Boyle to be in it now. Just the idea of what would go on.
But he's not going to be the commentator, because do you know who is?
Who?
Jonathan Pierce, a.k.a. the guy who did it in the original series.
Yes.
Really?
Fantastic. That I will support every step of the way. He was brilliant.
Jonathan Pierce is one of those people who gets really passionate about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what makes him a really good commentator. You know, if Darrow Breen is just going to be the host, then that's fine. As I said, I think he'll make a great host. So just cut back on everything else that he's doing. Let him focus on just Mock the Week and Stargazing Live and Robot Wars and leave everything else to other people.
Yeah, give other... Because there are plenty of good, like, comedians or... actually,
there's plenty of good presenters out
presenters,
there.
Yeah.
They don't have to be comedians.
No, that's true. As I was going to say, like, comedians, actors, whatever. But yeah, they've got plenty of presenters. The BBC has plenty of good presenters on its payroll already.
Well, yeah. And but they don't even need to be on the payroll. Just hold an audition.
Oh, that's true. Well, they could do that. But like even since they have now, they keep on sort of a lot of sort of low level stuff. They just kind of need to think, well, we think you'd be good for this, but you know,
actually, something we never really talked about in conjunction at Robot Wars is that will we see some of the originals but with upgrades?
Oh yes.
Oh, Hypnodisc 2.0.
No.
I'd imagine they would have tried to get some of the old favourites.
They'll probably try and get Chaos to Hypnodisc and. Possibly Panic Attack, I'm not sure, but they'll definitely want to get Razor back. Hypnodisc and Razorhead say the two that they most want to get back. In fact, if you haven't made
it. What was it? We've mentioned it before. What was the one with like the leopard skin print on it?
Oh, the ladybug one. It wasn't leopard print. It was a ladybug.
No, there's another one that had like full on leopard print stuff. The one with like actual fur on it that kept catching fire.
That was the ladybug one.
Mm. I always get set on fire by Sergeant
Bash. Basically, what was that thing's name? Because I can't remember.
So it was easy to be set on fire by like Sergeant Bash. He was the one, the flamethrower, wasn't it?
I can't remember what the one with the leopard print one was. I remember Razor and Chaos 2 and Panic Attack, Firestorm, Hypnodisc, obviously, the ladybug one.
Oh, Diator.
Diator, that was it.
That's his name.
And then you had, what was it, the cat one? I've forgotten the name. It was kind of a pyramid-shaped robot that just kept bouncing around and hitting it. Hitting stuff with that little circular saw it had on top.
But yeah, like technology's got much better and people are a lot more creative these days. So some of the stuff that people can come up with could get quite interesting.
That's definitely like my favourite thing about this, is just seeing what people can have come up now with, like now that we've got so much more advanced stuff.
Yeah, because we had good things back then.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if companies would see it as a great vehicle to kind of send out their innovations. So at one point you'll have Hypnodisc versus Honda.
Actually, there's more to that than you think, because when they did... when Robot Wars had started doing the Extreme, they basically had the Forces special, which was basically the police versus the ambulance service versus the Navy versus the Army.
Oh, yeah, remember that, yeah.
You know, I want Asimo to be a house robot.
Yes. That would be brilliant. And Asimo's going after Sergeant Bash, and there is carnage everywhere.
No, Asimo picks up Sergeant Bash and gives him a hug.
And Asimo's walking in.
Yes. They could get that panda robot which kills people.
And the robots in the crowd. There's blood everywhere.
Well, remember that one that could split? Gemini, was it? The one that was two robots in one. Then you had the one that looked like a big kind of digger, Behemoth or whatever it was called. And yeah, thing is, when you think about it, people were really creative with their designs. And these are things that people were making in their shed.
Oh, yeah. I remember one that just looked like a giant wedge of cheese and it had a flipper.
Firestorm, that was. Yeah. It was actually quite powerful. It was really fast and it had a powerful flipper. Mm. I think it got beaten by Chaos 2 simply because Chaos 2 was smaller, more compact.
Yeah.
Had a smaller
turn. And because Chaos 2 is the best robot, as I've already confirmed on the show.
A spear like robot like BB-8. Because people are like
learning
to do those.
Oh, that would be brilliant, BB-8. Which was the one that just had like a massive... It was sort of like an axe, but it was just like a spike. And it had a lot of weight to it, so it flip it once, and it would just go right through someone's skin.
Oh, that one was really good, because it used to just pick the robots up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I've got Razor managed to do that a couple of times, picking the robots up, but Razor's was more like the slow death. Mm. It'd just go...
My inner 5-year-old is coming out.
Okay.
I would always watch it after CITV. When CITV finished Robot Wars. It was after The Simpsons, actually.
Okay, we've definitely talked about Robot Wars for far too long now. For like the second show in a row.
It's your fault.
You can tell we are excited.
You mentioned Robot Wars, you know this is going to happen.
I know. Anyway, we have more presenting news, and that the BBC are actually bringing someone new in to co-present Top Gear. They're getting Matt LeBlanc.
Of all
Joey.
People.
Yeah, Joey. Yeah.
They're getting
all
Joey.
People.
Yeah, Joey.
Is he going to be in his role as Joey, or is he going to be in his role as the person from, episodes?
Episodes, yeah.
And,
well,
or is
his role as Matt LeBlanc in episodes?
I want
as Matt LeBlanc in episodes. Or is he going to be in his much lesser known role as the pilot of the spaceship that got lost in space?
I thought you never liked to talk about
that. No, because
that
movie didn't happen.
I just want to see him drive a car with the turkey and the sunglasses on. No.
Oh,
doesn't care at all.
Oh. I don't think he could do it as Joey, because then Joey just be sat... When we stood in the crowd, start to present, they just see the lads go, "How you doing?" Just end the entire program.
Well, I assume he's going to be playing the role of actual real human being Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, not the kind of... episodes Matt LeBlanc, the real Matt LeBlanc. I actually think he'd be really good because he is quite a car guy. I mean, we found that out when he was on Top Gear.
I don't know, because obviously, like, he's got the knowledge And I was looking, apparently he's actually like set the fastest lap for Top Gear.
Oh, he did, yeah. Yeah.
But so I think... I've got some worries though, like, I don't know how well he's going to play off Chris Evans.
Well, that's a good point. Well, it depends on whether Chris Evans decides to quit again.
But so far, yeah, the reaction to him being announced has been overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah. Well, we're still waiting for the reveal of the third one, which is supposed to be a woman.
Right, of course it will be.
Well, I mean, Chris Evans has not been enjoying himself on Top Gear, apparently.
No, he has not.
Apparently,
he's
hated it.
Yeah, like, apparently he can't actually like talk and drive at the same time without throwing up, which is going to be problematic for Top Gear.
Yeah, yep. That's a hell of a blooper reel.
That's like a YouTube channel.
Make Chris Evans do stuff.
But yeah, I think Matt LeBlanc, he has a good, yeah, he did bring like a certain good amount of energy to it as well, and enthusiasm. So I think he can definitely bring that to presenting the show as well. And you know what, when he and Jeremy were just talking about cars, he was so enthusiastic. I thought he was brilliant when he was there. So.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because like he comes across as being quite a reserved guy in real life, yeah. But he seems to liven up a lot when he's talking about cars.
Oh yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's just the fact that he's going from LA to Dunsford. It's quite a change in scenery.
But I'm still excited for Amazon's Top Gear equivalent. I still think that's going to be good.
Aye. And they're actually doing it properly. They're doing it, releasing it on a week-by-week basis
they're currently doing that with Lucifer as well.
Yeah.
But that's because they don't, like, own all the Lucifers.
Yes, they don't. Mm.
But also, like, I think it'd be best that they're doing that because I feel like everyone's got so sort of used to the Netflix-style things where it's just, oh, binge-watching, that's it. And then you have to wait for the next season. But if you pace it out long enough, you'll have people coming back.
It's sort of bringing it, making it more like actual TV. Because it does annoy me a bit where they just give you everything at once. Right, well, here's your lot. We'll see you next year.
It works for some things and it works for...
It's the water cooler conversation. Once you've talked about the entirety of a series you've just watched and gone, it's awesome. This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. You should watch it. And then you've got nothing else. That's it. That's your TV watching done.
Just move on to a different series then.
Read a book. You know, play a game. Go for a walk. Get a telescope. And
So moving on. Hey, Ryan, you mentioned Lucifer. Rob, don't you have a story about Lucifer?
Yes, I do. And segues will happen at some point. Just not on my watch.
No, I will force the segue. I will awkwardly force it. Now talk about Lucifer.
Do it.
Okay, so Fox's Lucifer is out now. First episode has gone out, and I think episode 2 is out as well isn't it?
I think it's every Tuesday now.
Yeah, every Tuesday. So, the advocacy group, the so-called 1 Million Moms, who really tried to campaign hard to stop Lucifer from being released because it made the devil cool, they are now decrying Lucifer for, again, making the devil look cool. And also, best bit here, also depicting him getting out of a speeding ticket, which is an act that they consider too diabolical for network television.
So, the monster!
Because Game of Thrones is perfectly fine when in the first episode of Game of Thrones, they have an actual scene of incest. And a boy who witnessed it being pushed out of a window.
Yeah.
A boy, a child, I might add, by an adult. That's okay for network television.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. He survived.
Let's not forget the
he only became disabled.
Yeah, Rob, what do you have against disabled people?
Yeah, I've got nothing against them, and the dwarf and the prostitute is nothing. That's tame compared to the fact that incest happened screen.
It was all through the episode, that there are spots that mums can easily pick out. But the million mums, didn't they also have a go at Deadpool as well? Wanting it to be sort of tamed and more calmed down to be made
of
15.
It's got a 15 rating.
Should have an 18 rating.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what everyone's annoyed about.
I think because I saw like the most recent trailer and the whole bit like where the car's like on the side and Deadpool goes, wait.
To be honest, you can stretch like a 15 these days.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like the whole Twilight thing anymore.
These are, they kind of given a new quote as well. Rather than being like the whole like, you're wondering about the red suit. He goes, I've only got 10 bullets, so some of you will have to share. It's one of my favourite lines I've ever heard.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm just on the 1 Million Moms page at the moment, right? And their current campaigns are Lucifer, No More Sympathy for the Devil. They want Disney Channel to stop airing Freeform previews.
What?
They've got a problem with Angel from Hell, which is on CBS, because it apparently disrespects Christianity. They're talking about how TBS has assumed a shocking title will draw viewers. They've taken issue with the Black Jesus and Muppets updates.
What?
What?
Hardy and Carl Jr.'s shows apparently show no respect for women. And after a skipped season, Black Jesus is back, which is one of the issues that they've got a problem with, which is on Cartoon Network. So, yeah.
Cartoon Network?
What?
Has Black a show Jesus called Black Jesus.
I said Adult Swim, but Cartoon Network. Oh.
What? No, I've seen Black Jesus. Cartoon Network of all the things. Wow.
But
a cartoon?
They should rename their website to 1 Million Bored People. Because they have too much time on their hands.
Yes, they do. Some of their successes, Eggland's Best is pulling their sponsorship of Teachers immediately because apparently Teachers disrespects teachers.
What?
I'm so done.
I know. Christian Mingle has pulled their ad from Impasta. Sexbox has been stopped. One of their successes. It's just MTV gets rid of its skins. And apparently the fact that...
Are 1 million mums taking credit for getting MTV to cancel their version of Skins?
Apparently, yeah.
I'm pretty sure
terrible.
It was the fact that no one watched it. Yes. That's why it got cancelled.
Exactly. They're saying that they're responsible for ABC cancelling controversial 666 Park Avenue. And apparently the new normal is not the new norm. They're saying that they're responsible for whatever it is with that. They're also claiming a victory, and this is the best victory of all. This goes to show just how petty they really are. Their victory on their success page is the fact that they got GlaxoSmithKline GSK to respond in less than a week.
Yeah!
Oh my God.
That'll show them.
Wow.
Sticking it to the man.
Social justice warriors. We have too much time.
So,
well,
I'm done.
Well,
I think all of us
it's clear, Rob, we do not want to mess with these people because they mean business.
I've got a badass over here.
I have nothing more to add to this story. There's nothing I could say that makes this story any better.
That's okay, because we can move on. It's okay. I have found a show that I'm sure 1 million mums will love. Basically, Fox, for I believe next year, are planning another live-action musical.
Oh.
This one of The Passion of the Christ.
Okay.
And they've cast their Pontius Pilate.
Hang on. Before you get onto the Pontius Pilate, I just want to ask, is this the Mel Gibson Passion of the Christ, the one that was in Aramaic? And if so, how the hell do you get a musical in Aramaic?
Well, it's written by Peter Barsaccini, who wrote High School Musical, so it is not the same as Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ.
It all fits together, doesn't it?
Okay, so
there's, it's for this year. It's March 20th. The person they have found to play Pontius Pilate is Seal.
What?
As in Kiss from a Rose, Seal.
As in...
I'm so done.
As in so not from the Middle East, Seal.
Definitely
has African roots, but definitely doesn't have Middle Eastern roots, Seal.
He's so current that he's actually a judge on The Voice in America. In Australia, that's Seal.
Yes, that Seal. Kiss from a Rose, Seal. You know, Solitary Brother, Seal.
Okay.
You know. One quick question I have before I hand this over to Owen. Why?
why Seal?
No, just why the whole thing?
Why
I don't know that.
Why in general?
I mean, we had Jesus Christ, superstar, is already. That, why do we need enough? A musical version of the Passion
because
of the
Seal
Christ?
Because Seal wasn't in Jesus Christ Superstar. We need to fix that.
That's the producer's fault.
But we all know Jesus Christ Superstar. You know, he came down from heaven on a Yamaha.
That's the version I want to see. That is the version I want to see. Just
unfortunately, he made a swerve and hit a kid. And then some things got hurt on a dustbin lid.
Thanks for that, Rob.
I've now got an image of Jesus being born on a small Yamaha doing a loop-de-loop, like doing stunts in the air.
It's like that Simpsons episode where Homer has to become Krusty the Clown.
100% thug life.
Anyway.
Yeah. But here's a question I've got, because who are they going to get to play Jesus? Because the last person that played Jesus in Passion of the Christ is now an assassin.
Oh, yeah, Jim Caviezel.
Sorry, no one
Jim
can pronounce
Caviezel.
His last name.
Something like that.
Yeah. Jim, last name begins with a C and has a Z in it.
Jim the Weasel, as I call him.
Yes.
Okay.
He plays an assassin in a program called Person of Interest. So I don't think Million Mothers would approve of him retaking the role as Jesus.
No. They'd be fine with him. They'd be totally fine with him.
I want Black Jesus.
Yes. The guy, wait, Black Jesus
it will be Zac Efron, I bet. Zac Efron will literally be Jesus now.
Like Jared Leto or someone.
The guy behind it, or one of the guys behind it, is he worked on High School Musical, so
yeah,
I can see that
happening.
That's
why I said Zac Efron.
Is it just going to be the cast of High School Musical doing Passion of the Christ?
They could either get Zach or Cody. It doesn't matter which one they get.
That mean one of them is going to turn up and go, this is a sweet life?
No, it's actually just going to lead to like the super depressing end twist where Zach did just die on the cross and Cody's been filling in ever since.
I wish I'd gotten that out first. I've got a nice little fact about Black Jesus. The guy that actually plays Jesus in Black Jesus is the same guy that voiced Lamar in GTA 5.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's
convenient.
I don't know who either of them are.
I am fairly certain that neither of them are Seal.
Yes.
And you'd be correct.
Yes. So, anyway, why did they pick our solitary brother?
You're saying that like he's not the obvious choice, Rob.
Well, I don't know. Is Luther Vandross still alive?
Question mark. Is my response to that.
All I'm saying is there are other singers who they could have possibly chosen. Why Seal in particular?
Who are they going to get to play Judas? Will I Am?
We don't know, but we'll stick with Seal for now. Did they give any reasons why they chose Seal?
Just because that's who they've picked.
Okay. I'm curious. It's got me by the curiosity.
I'll probably watch it.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it as well, just to kind of... Well, you know when they had all the controversy about Mel Gibson's version of The Passion of the Christ and it being super, super brutal and all in Aramaic and everything like that?
Vaguely.
Well, there was a lot of controversy about it.
I vaguely remember.
Basically, I went and watched it. I thought, I don't see what all the fuss is about.
To be fair, there were brutal times anyway, so...
Well, yeah, you're talking about... Not so civilized man.
People like sunshines and rainbows.
Yeah. Although I'm sure that is the mission statement for this musical, is just how do we out brutal Passion of the Christ?
Yeah. Let the sun shine in.
He gets crucified on a star.
Just you guys didn't get the musical reference. My God.
No.
Wow.
Especially you watching all your musicals.
You and your musicals.
Yeah, you didn't get the musical reference I just put there, threw it out there as well. You let the sun shine in.
I misheard you.
I want to cross between Hair and The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, I get
60s Love and Peace and The Passion of the Christ. There you go. Have them cross over. I'm giving it to you on a platter, producers.
No, what kind of monster are you trying to make?
Something Godzilla. I do not want to see.
I want Godzilla the musical.
Oh, no.
I think we all do.
Godzilla versus King Kong the musical.
No, just Godzilla the musical. Forget about King Kong. He sucks. Just Godzilla the musical.
He's the king. With Godzilla, like, in a top hat and bow tie, like, twirling a cane.
I was going down the route of, he's the king, so he's going to have the high collar and the glittery suit. He's going to stand there like that.
Oh! He comes out, I'm a kaiju.
No. Yeah. I'm a kaiju. Anyway. I think we destroyed that story.
I
think that really story dead. Destroyed itself by being about Seal being in a Passion existing. Of the Christ musical.
Yes.
Because why not?
Well, he is playing Pontius Pilate, so
true.
You know, he's in a leading role.
Yeah.
I just hope there's no comeback from 1 Million Mums about him being Pontius Pilate.
Well, as we've proven, they are a calm and reasonable organization. So I see no problem with this.
They're quite open-minded.
Yeah, but Pontius Pilate is the one who condemned Christ and given 1 Million Mums' views on Christianity.
Where are we going to go with this? Where are we going?
You know where I'm going with this. I'm just not saying it.
So yeah, we're going to put it down. Then we're going to slowly back away from the news and go for a nice little break. And we'll be back with what we've been watching.
The world of comics and manga are much, much more complex than I'll ever know. So tune in to 4Panel on the Geek Show Podcast Network to make that whole world a little less intimidating.
Hello, and welcome back to On The Box on the Geek Show Podcast Network. We are now at what we've been watching. So, people, who wants to go first?
Should I go first, then?
Yes, please.
We're all just looking at you, waiting for you to go.
I can feel the accusing eyes upon me. Well, I talked about Dickensian a few weeks ago, and I've also been watching the BBC's other period drama starring Steve Maria and Tuppence Middleton, War and Peace.
Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, this. Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah, it's been pretty good, actually. I think it's one of those things where, like, you can look at it and you can appreciate how well made it is.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not really, like, emotionally invested in it, I think.
Well, it is War and Peace.
Yeah, it's
difficult to get
gigantic.
It's difficult to get emotionally invested in something like War and Peace because it's just too much to take in all at once. And how long is this series going on for?
I think it's about 8 episodes.
8 episodes.
That's... But that's 8 hours.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
I mean, yeah, but basically the main advantage is in like years to come, I can talk about War and Peace and I don't have to actually read the novel War and Peace now.
Yes, this is true.
Because it's such a long book. No book needs to be that long.
How long is it?
Well, like, let's put it this way.
Thousands upon thousands of pages.
If I used it to hit you over the head, it would probably kill you.
Okay.
Well.
And that's the paperback version.
That's quite a book.
Yes, and then some. It's not a good book to read either.
Is it?
I don't
like...
understand why people call it a classic. Because, okay, it's
I
long.
Think because it's old and long, that qualifies as classic.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not even going to retort to the way you said that.
But that's what Granddaddy always told me.
Oh, no.
I'm done.
Oh, God. This went so fast.
Yes, it did. Anyway, do you know, I think this is the second time BBC have done War and Peace. Because remember I mentioned it before? I had it on video cassette from years ago because somebody bought it for me because they thought I might like it.
So is that like literally just like a mountain of cassettes then?
I think it was, well, it came in two parts. There was War and Peace Part 1 and War and Peace Part 2, and each one was 4 cassettes.
Everything about War and Peace is so unnecessarily long.
Yes, everything about War and Peace is unnecessarily long. But then again, that's because it was it Tolstoy wrote it? Or was it, no, it wasn't Tolstoy. It was Dostoevsky, that's it. Dostoevsky and... If you ever read some of his other stuff...
Yeah, but he likes to explain every single movement a character makes in minute detail.
No, that was Tolstoy. Dostoevsky wasn't as bad as Tolstoy.
Oh, yeah, you know, Tolstoy is like it's the properly... Like, and then he picked up his hand and moved it this many inches to the left and opened the page of the book.
I was about
book.
To say, it's like Tolkien and Wright.
No. Dostoevsky actually makes Tolkien look like a kindergartner.
Yeah.
Basically,
well, to be fair, Tolkien's problem was more just like randomly shoving songs in...
Yes, hi-ho. Have you ever read Crime and Punishment?
I think I've looked at Crime and Punishment and thought better of it.
Yeah, I looked at it and I was forced to read it. Why couldn't you just do Crime and Punishment instead of War and Peace?
Well, no, this is good because it's shortening the amount of time people have to spend on War and Peace.
But still 8 hours. You could do all sorts of things
in
8 hours.
Yeah, but it's a good 8 hours. It's 8 hours going, oh, well, that Paul Dano was actually pretty good at the whole acting thing.
It sounds like they're trying to jump on the post Downton Abbey route, I think.
Actually, possibly.
But then again, they do like doing their big historical dramery stuff.
Yeah, but there's several works from Dostoevsky that could work for that.
Yeah, but I feel like One Piece is probably the most well-known.
Someone needs to fill the void.
No, actually, Andrew's right. War and Peace is the most well-known. It's the one that everybody's heard of and is scared of.
Yeah, because it's literally the book that has the reputation for being that really long book.
It's the one that you don't want to get assigned during English class in high school.
No.
Seriously, it's the one that nobody wants.
So it's kind of like Romeo and Juliet then, when you had to do Shakespeare.
That's nothing.
Oh, so this is actually worse
than that.
That's
just overdone. This is just literally overdone.
This if you have to do the book version, and I kind of agree with you on that front, at least you don't have to do the book version. In fact, no, I definitely agree with you on that front. You don't have to do the book version.
I'd like you to do a comparison.
No, I've done the book version. Don't even subject yourself to that. It is torture. I mean that if you're a kid and you have to do War and Peace for a book review for school, then you may as well just leave school. Just get a job. Do something else. Forget about even speaking English. Forget about it. Just go speak some other language where you don't have to read War and Peace.
Fair enough. We had to do it for Halls and Of Mice and Men, so that's quite good compared to...
Yeah, that's tame by comparison. Yeah.
That's not even tame. That's just...
I have Owen's new project.
Oh, we're giving him War and Peace.
I've already got enough at university. I don't need this.
Just Owen comes in and there's just a dent in the book.
I just come in all haggard.
From where he's banging his head against the book going, why?
I just come in all haggard.
Why is it so long?
I just come in all haggard and why did you do this to me?
Yes. I look at pictures of the costumes and stuff like that and I really think it's elegant.
Oh yeah, it looks fantastic. And that's what we said. The production values, they're all really good, really high quality. They've got a fantastic cast. You've got your Paul Dano's, your Stephen Rears, your Tuppence Middleton's, and your Gillian Anderson's.
Is Gillian Anderson in it?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, Tuppence Middleton?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she's like in everything now.
Is that her real name?
Yeah, that's her actual name.
Oh, yes.
It's like literally the most middle class name.
I'm not even going to say what it sounds like.
Oh, Rob.
Sorry, I can resist, but yeah.
So I'm desperately trying to remember the last from Foyle's War, who's just got one of the most ridiculously middle-class names. It's unbelievable.
Is it more middle-class than Tuppence Middleton?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, there's a challenge there. I sense a challenge.
I sense an impossibility.
Have you seen the narrowing of the eyes? Andrew just gave you the narrow eyes.
Wow.
Definitely because Foyle. That day you suggested there's a more middle class name out there than Tuppence Middleton.
Oh, yes. It's Foyle's War. She was in Foyle's War, and her name is just so ridiculous. It's just.
Was she a regular in Foyle's War?
Yes, she was.
I'm going to have to look at this. I think Andrew's doing the same thing.
I am. I've literally Googled Foyle's War because this is something that needs to be known now. Oh.
It's good.
Honeysuckle Weeks.
Yeah, I will admit. Honeysuckle Weeks.
Sorry,
does give Tuppence Middleton some tough competition.
So I have trumped Tuppence Middleton.
No, whoa. Didn't say trumped. No. Tough competition.
It is tough competition, but I'm sorry, but if you saw the cast in a movie to be Tuppence Middleton and Honeysuckle Weeks, you'd think it was some kind of weird porn thing.
And it's produced by Arrow executive producer Speed Weed.
It's like,
yes.
It's like the middle class equivalent of rap names.
Episode title, middle class rap names.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I've just got now in my head MC Weeks.
No. It wouldn't be MC Weeks.
MC Daddy's Money.
It'd be Honeysuckle MC.
Oh, God.
Yo, yo, what up? It's your boy Benedictine Cumbersnitch Wise.
Yes. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Up in the schnizzle.
That's in the running, isn't it?
Schnizzle thing.
Wow. But Benedict Cumberbatch is one of those names like we tell Americans to pretend that we make up words.
Yes. But we obviously do when we've got Honeysuckle Weeks as a real name. And I thought American parents were cruel to their kids.
Oh,
and then Tuppence Middleton. Her parents thought calling her Tuppence was a good idea.
Because rich people are horrible, especially. Yes. What we can take away from this.
To be fair, I think Bob Geldof did worse because one of his daughters was just called something absolutely incredible. I think it's Fifi. Some ridiculous middle names.
You think that's ridiculous?
No, it's the middle names that really make it.
No. You think that's ridiculous? David Bowie called his son Zowie.
Oh, right. Well, I think David Bowie.
You. I like that.
Zowie Bowie.
That's cute, though. I think that's hilarious.
I bet the bullies did as well.
Nah, bet he's a popular kid.
Oh, it'd be awful if he was then in an episode of Towie. Zowie Bowie on Towie.
I don't live anymore.
Anyway,
guys, what have you been watching?
I've actually got one more. Just what? Where is he today? Zowie Bowie's in Maui.
No, doesn't work.
No?
Nah, it doesn't work because at least with the other ones, you had the OWIE.
Oh, fair dues.
Yeah.
Fair
dues. Anyway.
Okay.
Who's next? Who's next?
I'll go. Last week I talked about Star Wars, The Clone Wars. I nearly said Star Trek there.
Ah, Clone Wars.
Yeah. Today I'm going to talk about Star Wars Rebels.
Oh.
Yes.
Didn't you talk about this before as well?
Yes, I've watched it in a while though. It did stop.
We're into the second season now.
Which I haven't watched, but I'm aware of what goes on.
Some actually pretty good stuff as well. So season two has come out with the crew of the Ghost, the main sort of ship that was used in the first series, now a part of a Rebel fleet.
Okay.
Which is mainly composed of the... Oh, what was it?
I'm trying to remember now. I haven't watched the second season, but yeah. I roughly know what happens.
I know the main ships they use are blockade runners, the same ship that Princess Leia was on in episode 4 when she was captured by the Empire. So it's quite nice to see them because they've still got the same design and it kind of gives that sort of nostalgia. It reminds you, oh God, it's that ship from the original movie. And of course, you got the main Star Destroyers, which still featured in the first series. You've got new characters coming as well. You have Ahsoka Tano, who was Anakin Skywalker's Padawan.
Yeah, well, that's a bit of a spoiler, but that was sort of like the main thing, because at the end of Clone Wars, she leaves.
Yeah.
And no one really knew what happened to her.
Mm.
And she, basically, she is a neutral. She's pretty much not a Jedi, not even like Sith.
No.
She's just in between. She does whatever she wants.
But she
turns up at the end to sort of save the day, and that's the big sort of finale.
Aye.
Because she was a fan favourite.
Oh, yeah. She was superb, yeah. And still the same voice actor as well.
Yeah.
You also have the appearance of Anakin Skywalker's general from the Clone Wars, Rex.
Oh, is he? Yeah, I think he was in some of the others as well, I'm pretty sure.
I think he makes his first appearance in the second episode of the series, right after the two-part special at the beginning of the second series. So they go out and find Rex and two other clones that are still alive, one called Wolf, who few people remember. Then he joins the rebellion after stating that he didn't want to be involved in another war. So it's quite nice to see him there as well, but you've got him with Kanan, who's another Jedi who sort of run away after the implementation of Order 66.
Yeah.
So he survived the Clone Wars, and he and Rex sort of have this thing where Kanan doesn't like clones because of what they did to the Jedi. So their kind of relationship evolves, but it's quite a strained one as well, but it's nice to see them working together as well. You also have the appearance of Princess Leia and Darth Vader.
Oh, yes, I heard about
yes.
that. But I believe the sort of the original two had like an encounter with Darth Vader in the near finale, didn't they?
Yes, he did make an appearance in the end. But I think after they save Kanan, he and Ahsoka are trying to use the Force to read the Sith that's attacking them. And they recognize that it's the Sith Lord that's piloting a fighter that is attacking the Rebel fleet. And I think Ahsoka sort of thinks she knows who it is, but we know she finds out later because of the mid-series trailer. And so we are pretty certain that, I'm pretty certain that she does find out at some point who Darth Vader is. And they definitely, and we do see them fight.
Yep. Yeah, that's a big thing. Because everyone wanted to sort of know from the Clone Wars, it's like what actually happened between those two. Because obviously they would have to sort of encounter at some point.
Mm.
But Asuka is, she's a really interesting character because she is just completely rogue.
Oh, yeah.
She is not aligned with anyone. And again, I feel like the end of the season is going to be a massive build-up that might resolve that. But more interesting enough, with the Force Awakens and a lot of the retcon of the expanded universe, I think they're smartly using Star Wars Rebels, and it's been heavily suggested that they're adding certain characters like that to sort of reintroduce characters that were in the expanded universe later on.
There was a point in definitely when watching the season two mid-series trailer, you see Ezra, who's the main character of Rebels, with a lightsaber greatsword, the one Kylo Ren has, but green instead of red. So it's a small link, but it kind of shows they're still linked together.
They're taking on all this new expanded universe and new lore, but apparently they're going to also use it to reintroduce old canon.
Yep.
It's a really good series, and it does get much better. If you have watched, I know Clone Wars does start off very meh, but it does get a lot better towards the end.
Yeah, it does.
And it sort of becomes quite, even though it's meant for like kids on Cartoon Network, it does get quite gritty and goes into like the really gritty sides of Star Wars.
Because the Jedi dying, isn't it?
That's actually, that's a misinterpretation. A lot of people thought because it was on Cartoon Network, it was for kids, but it was more sort of aimed sort of the teens kind of adult region.
Yeah.
So people thought, because it was on Cartoon Network and that kind of channel, it's got to be for kids, but it wasn't really intended for originally. But
Rebels is good because they've got, like I say, a good cast of different people and different roles from like fan favourites.
Really. Oh, yeah.
But no, it's a good series.
Yeah. Of course, being closer to the episode 4, they bring in the other characters.
I do need to catch up. I'm definitely quite terrible.
And that's Star Wars Rebels.
Hey, great stuff. Ryan, what about you? What have you been watching?
Oh, dear.
Yes, tell us all. Tell us all your shamefulness.
Kick step, kick turn.
Well, we were talking about how Fox were doing the Passion of Christ musical.
Yes.
And it seems like this is a part of their sort of new trend that they're going along with, that they're doing musicals. And I watched the one that was broadcasted on January the 31st, which was Grease Live.
I'm just going to leave now because I'm just absolutely done.
Grease Live?
Yes, it's what we call Grease Live.
As in Grease, as in I've got chills, they're multiplying, and I'm losing control.
Yes.
Yeah, because power use by is electrifying. Done. You may continue talking.
Yeah. No, that's all I was checking was that Grease. Yeah, I know. Not anything
else. But you can't just say half a verse, Rob. That's not right. Got to finish the verse.
Okay.
So that's a first world problem, and it's fine.
Anyway.
Don't start, we can't finish.
I'm holding back the urge to go into the Olivia Newton-John lyrics as well.
Oh, God. What have I done? Sabotage. I planned this all along. But no, this is, again, a part of their new trend where they are basically doing these musicals, but then they are sort of trying to get like a wide audience base. So they're getting, you know, stars, like obviously you've said, Passion of Christ for some reason has got Seal for some reason. And with this, they also have quite a few stars in it, but I'll get to that. And this has actually gained quite a lot of attention, and no one realised like how big this was going to be. And it's currently the most watched, in terms of views, TV musical out there. And it got about almost 13 million views.
Wow.
And the only other competitor was NBC's The Sound of Musical, which was aired on 2013. And so Grease Live is currently like at the top of its game at the minute, and Fox are leading that. And obviously they're going to have many follow-ups because it seems like it's successful and they're aiming a lot at like a teen audience, and that seems to be generating like a lot of the views apparently. But monstrous enough, it's been making the rounds in news because just the amount of like effort that's gone into this, like the amount of hundreds upon hundreds of hours of choreography. And I wrote down some of the stuff, the fact that it's got a team of 600 cast and crew built with 14 sets on 20 acres of land. And then on top of that, it's got a live audience all around the place. And it's insane. And during like some of the actual like performances, like towards the end, they'll have like breaks and they do have a host who is sort of just saying, oh, like reach out and Twitter. And as he does that, you can see all like the actors run to the next set, jumping on carts around the studio. And it's insane. It's so much going on at once. But more interestingly enough, it's from the producing perspective. Like, there is so much going on, so much could go wrong, and it's all done in this one take with a couple of tiny little breaks in between, but it's nothing like those breaks. It means that they have to get from one part of the studio to another. And again, 20 acres, it's quite a lot going on.
It's kind of like when you see like certain plays in a park, but they've got the kind of different scenes spread out all over the park. So you walk in.
Yeah, it's very much that, but it's massive and so much going on in and outdoors. And they really did go all out on this. But no, it's Grease, and it's a slight modern take on it. It's a little bit flashier, but it's at the end of the day, it's still Grease, and I like Grease a lot. But
really? I couldn't tell from the way you're dressed like an extra from it.
Yeah, he's got the hairstyle, the black leather jacket.
I like Grease, okay.
I went outside, he goes out and there's a car, there's a white car with like purple lightning bolts.
Yeah. Pimp My Ride. But yeah, some of the people in this, Vanessa Hudgens stars as Rizzo, the leader of the Pink
Ladies. I was wondering when she was going to make an appearance in today's show.
Yeah. And Jessie J opened it doing like the opening song, which was a bit of a random thing, but it got everyone quite hyped, especially like the live audience that was all over the place. There is a rogue Jonas brother. Just a casual rogue one.
A wild Jonas brother makes an appearance.
He is the singer in the band when they are doing the dancing competition.
So how you finally escaped from the Jonas Brothers reservation?
Yeah. He's currently being hunted by Mickey Mouse.
But the thing that surprised me the most is who was playing Frenchie, because I thought she was the best out of like everyone in this
Which one was Frenchie again? Which one was Frenchie again?
She's the one who like wants to like drop out and goes to beauty school. And is worried about like what she wants to do with herself.
Played by Stockard Channing in the original.
I think so, yeah. But I recognised her, but I thought, is it like Taylor Swift or someone? I'm pretty sure I know who that person is. And upon further inspection, it was none other than Callie Rae Jepsen.
Really?
I think you've got her name wrong there, Ryan. Because she specifically asked to be called Maybe.
Oh, God.
I'm so done. Yeah, I thought she was like the best thing about this. She was just really, really good, and especially like the songs that she did. But it was really, I had a lot of fun with it, and it was just, it's probably going to get a lot of awards. A lot of people, especially in the news side of things, are talking more about the producing side of it, because to manage all of that and get it perfect, which it pretty much was, and just the amount of like split second changes that I had to go through, it's just mind boggling, all the costumes, getting it perfect. But it was just such a nice treat, and I can see Fox went all out on this. And hopefully like this is going to be like a recurring thing now. We're going to see constant musicals being put out by them. But no, it's good, and I quite enjoyed it. And again, it gets more people into these types of musicals that wouldn't possibly normally get into them. So yeah, they said that they're going to do this like quite often, but I didn't think the next thing to do would be The Passion of the Christ of all things.
Yep.
Featuring Seal.
Oh, God.
But yeah, that just sort of shows you what they have to work with. So they could do all sorts.
I've now got an image of them doing Braveheart as well. Braveheart the musical.
They could if they wanted to.
No, if they're going down The Passion of the Christ route, you know they're not going to go down Braveheart route.
Oh my God, it could finally happen.
What?
I could finally get my real world adaptation of Conan the Musical.
That's more what I was thinking.
I'm praying for Evil Dead.
Oh.
That'd be fantastic.
No. after The Passion of the Christ is The Exorcist, the musical.
That sounds amazing.
It was
really good. I enjoyed it. I don't think it was as good as obviously the original, but
yeah,
it was different and I enjoyed it and I could see what they tried to bring to the table, but the fact that it was all in one go and there was so much going on, it was, you know, something quite nice and I really didn't.
Yeah,
they kind of got to try and replicate the sort of connection between that John Fulton and Olivia Newton-John had, because they quite had a good sort of on-stage presence together.
On screen, you mean?
Yeah, on-screen presence. So
yeah, but that's mainly because they were filming it in stages. Yeah, you know, capturing that kind of connection in one take is extremely difficult.
Oh yeah, especially
they were really practical with it. Like, for example, in some of the scenes, like literally they would just turn the camera for like a split second. You turn back and everyone would have been in like full different outfits. Like
speed change.
And I believe they're doing like sort of like behind the scenes of it as well. And they showed little bits, but the amount of detail, like the choreography, just the sheer amount of people and the costumes, the way they've had to design the costumes just to be changed so quickly. It's mind-boggling how fast like people were getting.
Yeah.
Just the whole thing was put together. And then producing that, they showed clips of the people in the room and it was just mind-boggling the amount of cameras everywhere. Like literally had cameras everywhere, just little tiny details that they really did think about this. And I think it's going to be talked about for quite a bit because
At least they kind of did it properly and made
like
the
said,
real effort rather than just sort of, well, we'll
they
we'll
were
do
practical
kind of the important
it,
stuff.
Of course, but
yeah.
You get like Grease, like live, like theatre performances, but this, it was just like on a whole other level.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, it almost felt like it did live up to the film almost.
So they actually did it justice.
But no, it was great.
Well, at least they did it justice.
It was good.
Okay, so Rob, what about you? What have you been watching?
I have been watching a program where they take lots of stuff and fit it into a teeny tiny space.
You've not been to the circus again, have you?
Nope. I've been watching George Clark's Amazing Spaces. Have you guys not watched this program? Right?
No, please explain it. Please make it sound less filthy.
No, it's...
Because I'm not undergoing a midlife crisis.
No, George Clark...
says the greaser.
Yeah.
Anyway, George Clark is a designer come architect. He basically has a show on Channel 4. I think it's on E4 or whatever Channel 4 has this week decided to call its channels, aside from 4. Anyway, he's got a show called Amazing Spaces. And what people do, they do the most amazing things with things like, you know, the VW camper vans or little tree houses or something like that.
Oh.
And they basically have like an entire house in a cupboard. It's got everything that you could want and you fit it in a cupboard. And that's why it's called Amazing Spaces. Because
it's about midlife crises.
It's not. These people do it just because they want to, and they're not all midlife. Some of them are really quite young.
I'm only messing.
It's the kind of thing that people do
have
a limited budget
because
and
they were
can only
quite
afford
old
a small.
And then they regenerated.
Sorry?
No, well, clearly they were quite old, and then they regenerated into a younger body.
Yes.
Because all these people are Time Lords.
They must be, because, I'm sorry, some of these spaces, one last, her and her boyfriend, bought a camper van because she was an artist, kind of an arts and crafts person. She was going to go around Europe selling her wares, expanding her name and her brand. And so they basically spent a couple of £1,000 redoing this old camper van. And in there you had the bed, the hob, the place to eat, the place to wash. You had storage space. You had a workplace for her to do her work.
I can't comprehend like how that works.
I'm not kidding you.
In a VW camper.
Is this now a double-decker
camper
van?
But it was not much bigger than a VW camper either.
Is this now a double-decker camper van?
No.
And there were seats that they can sit in and drive.
Yes.
Are you sure she's not just sitting at the foot of a bed while driving?
No, I'm sure, because I watched this show and they basically showed exactly what the layout was like. It was just all cleverly designed and cleverly laid out. It was really, really intelligently done. And because they approached it in such a way, they managed to fit everything in. And it's just kind of, you know, sometimes when you're packing a suitcase and you have to play suitcase Tetris?
Yeah.
Yes, it is one of my favorite games.
Yes. Well, it's kind of like that, only on a much grander scale. This guy, and for his son, to allow his son to see the stars, he built a den on the edge of a cliff with a roof that folds open so he can lie back on his bed and just look straight up and see the stars. It has a telescope in there. It's like an observatory.
Awesome.
Yes. And you have to climb a ladder to go up. The roof comes down and it opens like wings and folds down. The actual walls, the walls of the building fold out.
My mind's just been blown.
So it becomes an open structure in the summertime, letting all the breeze flow through.
I really need to watch this show now.
And you know what? The guy who built it, he's an artist, and he has no architectural experience. Just did it.
Winging it.
Okay. Yeah, just winging it. No, that's ridiculous. Clearly, all he's done is just like convince a transformer to turn into a room for him.
It's a transforming house, yeah. It is a transforming house.
He whispers into its ear.
It's crazy. I watch this show. I'm just kind of, I don't know how you do this. I mean, the great thing about the show is George has his own projects as well, and his current project is basically, you know, the old beach huts that you have down in like Bournemouth and places like that. Those beach huts, what he wants to do is create a mobile one that he can use to drive straight into the sea and get out of it, go into the sea, come back into the beach hut and go back.
I'm done.
Awesome.
Okay.
Now I've only just got in my mind, thanks to you, and I've just got in my mind.
Does he want to be SpongeBob?
I think in this case, yeah.
So I've just got in my mind now Transformers Real Estate.
Not quite that bad.
Pineapple under the sea.
Not quite that bad, but... Seriously, if you guys have never watched this program, give it a try, because I watched this with my nephew and he's 8.
I feel like I'll get claustrophobic.
No, he's 8 and he sat there and he was totally blown away because he was sitting there watching this program and he's like, how the hell did they get all that in there? And he spent the rest of the day with several pieces of paper drawing what he remembered of that particular structure and trying to fit everything that he remembered seeing on this show into that. Trying to work out exactly how they did it.
Yeah.
You know that old law, any technology, if sufficiently advanced, will appear as magic to a more primitive people?
Yeah.
Isn't that...
Yes, that is Clark's third law.
Yeah. It's kind of one of the arguments of like why the aliens visited and got mistaken for gods.
There are no aliens. Seriously. There are no humans either. I'm getting metaphysical on you. Anyway, yes, we are all cosmic beings. I am Yoda.
Well, Yoda.
Anyway, no, George Clark's Amazing Spaces. It's weird because all it is a bit of design, a bit of planning, a bit of thought, and a bit of common sense. But it appears like magic. It does something that you would only expect to see in a show with magicians, you know, like Dynamo or somebody like that doing this. Like, how the hell did he get all that into this small area here? And now he's going to sleep on it? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And the thing is, some of these places are beautiful, but some of these vehicles, some of these structures, some of them you just look at them after they're finished and you go, I want that. My life deserves to have that in it. A guy built an entire cinema in his shed.
Wow.
And when I say cinema, I mean one wall of it is actually the screen.
Wow.
It has top of the range surround sound system, top of the range projector. And from the outside, you look at it as you're walking up to it and it's a shed. And then you walk inside and it's a plush cinema.
So, well, that's
pretty impressive.
That's gonna really stump the robbers. So they think, oh, we'll see what this guy's got in the shed. And Nick, that.
It's soundproofed. Oh,
so,
I kid you not, it's a shed that's been soundproofed.
Okay, right. Well, we got into it. It is a cinema. It's soundproof because it's a cinema, not because...
it's a cinema, not because he's doing other things.
Yeah, when someone mentions a soundproofed shed, that the amount of alarms that are raised at that point...
I can think of like two reasons why you'd want to soundproof a shed, and neither of them are good.
Yeah.
Well, apparently there is one now. There's a third option.
Yes, he's got an actual cinema in there.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's George Clark's Amazing Spaces. I suggest people give it a try.
That sounds fun.
It is a fun show. Yeah. And George is, he's like, what's his face from Flog It? And, I've forgotten his name.
Robert Llewellyn.
Lovely Cocker Spaniel Man.
Yeah, Lovely Cocker Spaniel Man from Flog It. It's not Robert Llewellyn.
No, of course.
Flog It, not Scrappy Challenge.
No, because I was thinking of Robert Llewellyn Bowen.
No. Not him.
No, not him. Not him, not him.
No. Arrogant Spaniel Man he is.
Yeah, yeah.
We're on about affable Spaniel
Man. I know.
Man.
I know which one you mean now. But
because yeah.
I got kind of mixed up.
Yes, anyway. So all the middle-class ladies love.
Yes, all middle-aged middle-class ladies. Middle-aged and middle-class. Either one. It's a Venn diagram. They both love him. My mum is 70 and she thinks he's great. Anyway, him and, what's his name? Is it Dermot from Grand Designs?
Possibly. I don't know. This is your show, Rob.
Hey? Kevin MacLeod, sorry. Not Dermot, Kevin MacLeod. Rob's managed to reliably remind me. It's Kevin MacLeod. They're very, very affable. They're very charming. They have a certain way of speaking. And George is more like the kind of Jamie Oliver of that world. He's very affable and very charming, but he's also very inquisitive and he's a brilliant presenter. He's a brilliant, brilliant presenter. And you can tell from the way he talks, he absolutely loves what he's doing. And that, you get that as well as the viewer. It's a really great show to watch. I suggest more people give it a try because it's one of those shows that you can just sink into easily. You can just sit there and watch it and just pass the time away a little bit.
All right.
And watch people being ingenious.
That sounds very interesting.
Yep. Give it a try, guys. Seriously.
I think I actually will.
You'll be converts. I guarantee it.
So I really want some tips on how to soundproof my shed.
They don't just soundproof sheds.
Well, on that worrying note, I think
thank God.
We're going to end the show. So, thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed listening to us ramble on borderline incoherently, why not consider maybe giving us a few pieces of whatever type of money it is you use in your daily life? I'm not discounting any money. I'll take all of it. If you would like to donate, we do rely on the help of our listeners since we are just a voluntary organisation. So you can go to thegeekshow.co.uk and hit the donate link on the right-hand side of our website. Or you can visit the Geek Shop to buy many, many lovely things of loveliness and thinktastic dicky blah blah blahness. I made words. And you can find the show on Mixcloud, Stitcher, YouTube, or just thegeekshow.co.uk itself.
We're everywhere.
Yes.
Yes, we are slowly taking over the internet. In your ear holes. We are taking over the internet.
Yes, yes. All has been assimilated.
We are the Borg.
That's it. That's the end. I've been the abstract concept of Andrew.
I've been an empty shell of an Owen.
I've been Greaser Orion.
I've been old man Rob with my shed.
Nothing's changed there.
Rob and the soundproof shed.
No, it's not soundproofed.
And that's us. Goodbye.